The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now an alert that our next item contains discussion of eating disorders and treatment. Despite a plan to open 20 new adult specialist beds for eating disorders in Ireland by 2023, there remain just 3 public beds to cover the entire country. This leaves patients having to seek treatment in both acute hospitals and general psychiatric hospitals with no specialist experience, while the HSE is left to purchase beds from the private sector and from abroad. Cian Burns reports.
The hospital that I went to, they had no support for eating disorders. They were purely an acute psychiatric ward. So I went in there, was there for 7 months, and over that 7 months, my eating disorder just took over completely.
Shifra, whose name we have changed to protect her privacy, has had an eating disorder since her early teens.
So I'm 21 now. I started suffering with different aspects of my eating disorder probably around 10 or 11, but it got really very bad around the age of 14, 15.
At the time, Shifra was under the care of Lucina Child and Adolescent Mental Health Services for other mental health issues.
It wasn't until I was really quite sick that all of a sudden they just decided I needed to go into hospital. That was obviously very scary for someone who's under 18 anyway, but I was placed into a general hospital ward because they didn't have any psychiatric beds available. And because I was under 18, I would have had to go into an adolescent ward. I spent about a month in a general hospital bed and then was transferred to the adolescent part of St. John of God's.
After those admissions, Shifra described to me how she was in and out of hospital for medical stabilisation multiple times before she turned 18.
So as soon as I turned 18, I got admitted to an acute psychiatric unit. They had absolutely no training or supports for dealing with eating disorders. There was no dietitian, there was no meal plan, there was no psychological support for an eating disorder. I was definitely a lot worse coming out of that hospital stay than I was when I went into it.
The treatment of eating disorder patients in general hospital wards and general psychiatric wards is not uncommon due to the current lack of inpatient beds available in Ireland.
I'm Dr. Art Malone, consultant psychiatrist working in eating disorders and chair of the College of Psychiatrists Special Interest Group for Eating Disorders. So St. Vincent's is the only service in the country with any access to eating disorder inpatient beds. We have 3 beds here in the hospital, and they're specifically catchment area bound for patients of our service.
So that means that there's obviously a lot of the country then that has no access to specialist eating disorder beds.
That's right. Only the patients attending St. Vincent's have access to beds. So there's some people who, because of their air code, wouldn't have access to specialist treatment.
That leaves patients like Shifra with very few options when it comes to seeking treatment.
So patients with eating disorders who are in specific crisis end up in emergency departments and in medical hospitals getting treatment, which typically takes the form of kind of immediate medical stabilization, some form of refeeding, but definitely not specific kind of recovery focused treatment as would be usually expected in a specialist eating disorder unit.
And what's the impact of the lack of that specialist care?
Well, there's 2 main consequences. The first is that it puts strain on the health service, that people are repeatedly needing admissions because they're not getting the fundamental cause of their illness treated. The more worrying thing is that actually people then stop looking for treatment. So although people are still very unwell, they know that going to the emergency department is not really going to get them the help they need, and they stop going. So what actually ends up happening is that there's a huge buildup of what we'd call morbidity, the long-term consequences of having an illness, whether that be the psychological consequences or the physical consequences, and people get sicker, they develop subsequent medical conditions related to their eating disorder. And yeah, it becomes a cycle where actually the kind of the damage is so severe that people then find it very difficult to be open and available to recovery if they do eventually engage with a treatment team.
And unfortunately, this has become all too common for Dr. Malone and his team.
We have a lot of experience with meeting people who have had very negative experiences in hospitals before, and it definitely acts as a barrier that people don't feel that we can be trusted, they don't feel that they can be heard.
With just 3 public beds available in the country, the HSE has turned to both the private sector and treatment abroad to meet the demand for inpatient care. The HSE can purchase beds in the private sector or abroad for patients who need it. According to figures provided to Newstalk, the HSE spent over €8 million on eating disorder services in Ireland last year, but spent an extra €5 million on sending eating disorder patients abroad. That compares with a spend of just €176,000 in 2018 on treatment abroad. That represents a 2,740% increase in just 7 years. But the avenues of treatment abroad and using private beds are not without their significant drawbacks, as Dr. Malone now explains.
Getting help early is really essential. My big concern about the applications for funding abroad and funding for private units is that can't happen quickly. That's a slow process, and often people have had to fail a number of times before they reach that point.
One of those people is 36-year-old Amanda Lynch, who has anorexia nervosa.
So I had to fight for HSE funding to get funding because I didn't have health insurance, and that took time as well. Like, that took a long time. At first it was declined and I had to appeal and stuff, and then that kind of messes with your head as well, because then you feel like, oh, maybe I don't deserve that funding, or maybe like I'm not sick enough to need that funding. And so that plays with your head as well.
When Amanda's application did eventually go through for funding, her stay at Lois Bridges Eating Disorder Clinic was time limited, putting her right back to where she was before she was admitted.
So like, I wasn't ready to be discharged, but my 12 weeks was up, so I had to go. That threw me as well. And then I was straight back to general adult mental health services who couldn't support me because they didn't specialise in eating disorders. And like, they were honest with that. They were telling me like, this is not your area of expertise. So I was just left to kind of just fall back into the eating disorder. And like, that would kind of turn me off of going for further eating disorder programmes, because when I was in general services, I was like, well, what's the point? Because I'm going to go back home and I'm not going to have the support when I get home to keep me kind of on track.
Under the HSE's model of care for eating disorders, published in 2018, 16 multidisciplinary teams for eating disorders were to be set up across the country by 2023. Currently, only 11 are in place, with one more being set up. And Budget 2025 provided funding for 2 more to bring the number of teams nationally to 14 out of the 16 that was initially envisaged. Amanda now has a team in her area and describes what it means to actually have an eating disorder focused team.
It's so important to have a specialist team, because when you're in a service that doesn't understand eating disorders, it just makes you shut down. And you're like, what's the point? Like, what's the point in kind of like sharing how I feel, because they're not going to fully understand me anyways.
But having that team in place now leaves Amanda thinking what could have been had the team been in place years ago.
The more you go on with an eating disorder without the proper supports, the more ingrained the eating disorder gets. So like, my eating disorder, like, I'd be deemed as like severe and enduring eating disorders. That's what like my anorexia would be deemed as now, because I have it so long. It's just chronic now. So yeah, it's kind of like, I always wonder if I had have had those services, because they always say like early intervention is key. So if I had have had those services when I started to get unwell at the beginning, it mightn't have gotten to the stage where it is now.
Do you think there's a lack of understanding among politicians too about the care that's needed then, because of what you're saying?
There's a huge lack of understanding in politicians when it comes to eating disorders. Like, it's so frustrating that it's always the patients that end up like being like, I never set out to be like an advocate for eating disorders, but I just felt myself like having to advocate and having to talk to politicians, and you shouldn't have to do it, but you end up being like a little mini politician. Like,
and this mini politician got to meet a big politician when she met then Taoiseach Simon Harris on the campaign trail in November.
I feel like adult eating disorders have been the most let down, because we have gone our whole illness without services until now.
Will you do me a favour? Can we have a proper meeting on this?
Yeah, we'd love that. Yes.
And I'm still waiting for that meeting to happen. I've contacted them, but I've just gotten a kind of generic email to say they received my my email. So I do still want to meet with him and still want to kind of further go into detail about my story and about, like, because it's just to prove that how wrong it is for somebody to go into a psychiatric unit, a general psychiatric unit for an eating disorder. It has to be a specialised, it's such a specialised illness and it needs specialised treatment.
And Shifra, who we heard from earlier, did eventually get that specialised treatment when she had her last admission 2 years ago.
This time I was admitted under the Vincent's eating disorder team, and that was where everything started to change. I got psych support, I got support with a dietitian, I saw everyone on the team worked with my family, them taking me off the medications and talking to me and helping me to see a future for myself.
And it highlighted to her the impact of specialist care.
I had been in and out of hospital like a revolving patient for years. Probably about 6-7 years of my life were in and out of either general hospital wards or psychiatric wards, just constantly in and out. And it wasn't until that admission that I finally got to start building a life for myself outside of hospital and wanting a life.
But she's also conscious that because of her illness, she didn't always want to fight for the care. But her parents did.
My parents fought for me to get the treatment that I got. And I was really lucky that I had their support to get me that treatment. But there's a lot of people who don't have that support from family or friends, maybe because their eating disorder has pulled them away from those people. And without support from the government or from an eating disorder specialist team, they're not going to get that support. So the government needs to step up and provide that support to those people who don't get it from anywhere else.
And there's one more support that Shifra says is absolutely vital: outpatient care.
It's not easy. It's absolutely not easy to be inpatient in hospital. It was probably the worst time of my life. But it is a lot easier to manage the eating disorder in hospital than it is outside of hospital. And if you don't get the support outside of hospital, then you're just going to keep going in and out and in and out and in and out. You need the support outside of hospital because that's where recovery happens. Recovery happens outside.
Is it fair to say then that when you were discharged from Vincent's that you felt more hopeful than what previous discharges have been like because you knew that all that support was there?
Yes, to a certain extent. I was very nervous myself coming out of hospital because of all of my experience of not having support once coming out of hospital. I was kind of under the impression that no matter what they said about supporting me outside of hospital, they weren't going to. And they did prove me wrong on that, which is fantastic. But it took me a long time to believe them and trust them that they weren't going to just leave me.
And 2 years on from her discharge, Shifra is still receiving support from the outpatient department at St. Vincent's when she needs it. But she also wants to highlight just how important getting treatment for eating disorders is.
Eating disorders are awful, absolutely awful. And they're so lonely as well. And receiving that help gives you your life back. You deserve help no matter what stage you are at. It's never, never too early and never too late to get help.
Shifra finishing that report from Cian Burns. And as Shifra said, it's worth getting help, and help for eating disorders is available. You can contact Bodywise, the eating disorder charity, on 01210 7906, or by email alex@bodywise.ie, or of course you can speak to your GP. Now the HSE says it has received a report on the capacity of mental health beds in Ireland, including eating disorder beds, and it's currently under consideration. It also says by the end of this year, each HSE region will have at least one eating disorder team. The Department of Health says enhancement of specialist mental health services is a priority for the government and the HSE, and that a central planning group for mental health services is working to identify and prioritise mental health capital requirements over the next 5 to 10 years to ensure the number of inpatient beds meets actual demands. In response to arranging a meeting with Amanda Lynch, whom you heard in that report, a spokesperson for Taoiseach Simon Harris said that he's very eager to meet Amanda in the coming weeks.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.